make a start. If you would be kind enough to do a roll call, Yasin.
Sure, certainly, with pleasure. Let's please start recording and I'll go ahead with roll call. Good morning, good afternoon and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee EC 2017 selection call held on Thursday, 29th of September 2016 at 1200 UTC. On the call today we have Julie Hammer, Mohamed El Bashir, Cheryl Langdonore, Gunella Astri, Irio Lanzapuro, Banda Cartesini, Eduardo Diaz, Luis Hall, Dave Kisondoya, Wolf Ludwig, and Murray McKercher. We haven't received any apologies for today's call, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Liang, and myself, Yijin Maglar. Finally, I would like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcript purposes. And over to you, Julie. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yasin. And we've got a very full agenda today, so I'm going to try and push through it as quickly as possible. Thank you to the alternates for joining. I do appreciate that. The first five agenda items, or four really, are ones that I particularly wanted you to join us for. After that, you're welcome to drop off the call and we'll continue. The first thing that I wanted to discuss was the BCEC Code of Conduct. We have had that posted online. Vanda made a suggestion that we simply accept what was online, which is actually the same as the 2014 BCEC Code of Conduct. There was a comment from, I apologise, I can't remember who, to suggest that we might want to think about including something about work practices in that code of conduct. My suggestion would be that we put comments about the work practices in our operational procedures and keep the code of conduct as it was last time and as it is in the 2017 draft. So I'd like to ask for views on that at the moment and then talk about how we record our commitment to the code of conduct. So I'd just like to ask if anyone has a comment. If there are no comments, then I'll ask you to pick whether you agree that we should finalise this code of conduct as written. I see Eduardo, Cheryl, Euro, lots of green ticks. So thank you for that. I think we've got the majority of people in the Adobe room have indicated their agreement to proceed with the code of conduct as written, and what we'll do is definitely include work practices in our operational procedures. So thank you all for that. What I'd also now like to suggest is that we record our personal agreements with and commitment to the code of conduct in an email to staff. My suggestion would be that I send out a request asking for your agreement, and that in response to that email that you respond to the group and to staff, and that staff then record formally in an archive those emails. Can I ask if people are, and that would include members and alternates, because we don't know at what stage alternates will need to be invoked at short notice. So First of all, if there are any comments, please raise your hand. If you're comfortable with that suggestion, could you please indicate with a tick? Great. Again, thank you very much for agreement. If anybody on the phone and not in the Adobe wishes to say something, please just interject at any time. Okay, thank you. So with that, we've finalised the code of conduct, and I will get that email out to all of you in very short notice. And I'd like to move on now to agenda item 3, which is work practices and invoking alternates. And I particularly am keen to have the input of everyone, including alternates, on this. What I have done and circulated to you is some very, very rough drafts of what I thought might be useful operational procedures and guidelines. I have to confess I couldn't find any from previous years, so I've put together what I thought might be a useful set of topics, and in that what I'd like to do, I'm just affirming what we agreed to in BCEC roles and responsibilities. That was what we covered off at our joint meeting last week. So if we could move down to BCEC meetings in the first instance, just to, you've got control in the Adobe room yourselves. What I've written there is that we'll agree on a regular time to conduct meetings by web conference. Unless otherwise advised, weekly meetings will be attended by members only. And the text highlighted in red is the text I'm particularly seeking input on. The BCEC will consider that a quorum is achieved if at least one member from each of the 5 ALOs is present. So I'd like your input on that. And then the other thing I've mentioned about meetings is BCEC work may also be progressed by email between meetings where that is appropriate. And I think there are quite a few things where we can proceed that by email rather than wait for meetings to make progress. So I'd like to seek your opinions on the issue of a quorum. Do we need to define what a quorum is? If so, is one member from each of the 5 ALOs present? Is that adequate? So seeking your comments on that. Yes, Murray, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. It's Murray McKercher speaking as an alternate, and I've gone through this process once before. So I think it's wise that the quorum is in there, and the representative from the RALOs seems to be consistent with other groups that I've worked with in ICANN. One comment about email between meetings. I think that's wise, but I'd be a little bit cautious on the confidentiality of information going over email. That's my only comment on item 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Murray. Julie speaking, and I think that's really wise advice. I guess when I wrote that, I was really thinking more about administrative aspects, but I'm glad that you brought that to my attention, because that is something to be very careful about. And perhaps what I will do is add in something about sharing of confidential information over email. Although, to some extent, I think we do have that covered to a degree in the code of conduct, but it's a good point in any case. Vanda, please go ahead.
Yeah, just a general suggestion. If we follow most of the non-com procedures, we're going to be in the fifth size. And not using names, for instance, not put any specific questions and points inside the email. So we need to, if we follow those rules, we're going to be okay. So that's my point. We should, you know, take a look on the non-com and try to follow most of those procedures that will be, because we are selecting a board member anyway, and we should follow the same procedure that non-com does and the same requests that they do with the additional issue that people need to know better, ALAC and at large. Okay, just first impressions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Vanda. Eduardo.
Yes, I want to add to what, this is Eduardo, I want to add to what Vanda was saying. It's true, when we use in the non-com, we use like numbers. I mean, we know what the numbers are, so which candidate we're referring to, so, and we don't use names. But also, I think, I don't know if it has been done already, but we should have an email listing just for this group. So we can send mails using that mail list, which I think that we do, right?
We already do this, Julie speaking. It's BCEC 2017, and that does not include alternates.
Okay. So and the other thing is that that we use in the non-com is a wiki space, which is private only to this group. I don't know if that's it's there yet or what. So that's one of my points. Thank
you. Julie speaking. Yes, Eduardo, that's absolutely great idea, and certainly what I was envisaging would happen, because we don't yet have any confidential information. It doesn't yet exist, but Heidi, I'm sure staff are well used to setting that up for different reasons, and there shouldn't be any problem in setting that up for us. Heidi.
Hi, this is Heidi. No, there's not a problem to do that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Heidi. So thank you, Eduardo. We'll definitely be doing that, and I'll just make a note that we need to make reference to that in our operational procedures. So thank you for those really helpful comments. I would now like to move on to the next section, which is work practice. Again, this is relevant to our alternatives. What I have drafted at the moment is that BCEC members are expected to attend meetings to undertake adequate preparation for meetings and to complete work required outside meetings professionally, thoroughly, and within requested timeframes. Both BCEC members and alternates will participate in training sessions for the tools which will be utilised to support the candidate selection process. So I have a couple of questions. One is, do you think that the first part of that paragraph adequately describes our expectations for work practice without getting so specific that we become a bit draconian? And secondly, are you comfortable for members and alternates to actually undergo the training and tools? The thinking behind that is, if we need to invoke an alternate member at short notice, we may not have time to get them up to speed on the tools, so that if they've already done some training with the rest of us in the early stages of this process, then we've solved that problem. So I'd like to ask for your comments on this paragraph and those two particular points, please. I see Vanda has agreed. Okay, so no comments. So if you are comfortable with what I've suggested there, would you please indicate a green tick? Great, thank you very much. So on the basis of that, when we schedule some training sessions for alternates, I will do my best to make sure that it's at a time convenient to alternates as well as members, and if we can't find one single time, we might have to seek ICANN's indulgence and maybe even do two training sessions, and I would attend both to accommodate everybody's schedules. So at this stage we haven't made any plans, or Heidi, I don't know whether you've had any opportunity to speak to Ken Bauer about this as yet.
Yes, thanks for the reminder, Julie. I will do that today.
Great, thank you so much, Heidi. Okay, so work practice tick. Now, this is the crux of the issue. If we could have the previous document up again. Sorry, Yashim. If we could have those operational procedures up and looking at paragraph 7. Now, I'm really seeking your input on paragraph 7 because this is just my initial ideas, and you may disagree with them, and I'm more than happy if you do. The BCEC will invoke alternates under the following circumstances. A BCEC member from their RALO advises that they are unable to continue participating in the process. So I think that's a pretty reasonable one. And if someone says, something's come up, I just cannot do it anymore, we need to be able to accommodate that. The next couple, though, I'd like your discussion on. A BCEC member has not attended 3 or more meetings and is deemed by other BCEC members to be unable to fulfil their responsibilities. Or a BCEC member, although attending meetings, is deemed by other BCEC members to be not appropriately contributing to the process. So I'd like your thoughts on those, whether they are reasonable suggestions, whether you would change them in any way, or whether you would actually add in other circumstances that might warrant recording. Eduardo, please.
Yes, I think these are reasonable things to use for this part, but the question here is, when we say by other BCEC members, how many members have to be in accordance to for this to happen? One, or is it the full body, 2/3? You know, that we get into that thing.
Yes,
we might get into that thing.
Good point. And what would you suggest?
Nothing comes to my mind right now. I'm just pointing that out. Like, I mean, it's the first time I'm seeing this, so I don't have any suggestions yet. Maybe other people might have something to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Eduardo. Iro.
Yeah, thank you. This is Iro Lancepuro. Yeah, I mean, these situations that are described here are okay, except, to my mind, difficult to, could lead to a discussion about whether, what is appropriate contribution, so on and so forth. So I would prefer that we have more sort of objective criteria for changing a member to an organ. Thank you.
Would you just suggest we keep the two and delete the third? Is that your suggestion? Or?
Yeah.
Yes, this is my suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ganella.
Hello, this is Ganella Esprink. Julie, I was also concurring with Uriel there about how you actually quantify who is not appropriately contributing to the process. It's a very difficult call. I do understand the reasoning behind it, but if we are to have it in there, it needs to be more quantified in regard to some particular part of a process, and I understand that that would be quite difficult. So I can't offer anything at this stage, but it's something maybe we could consider if we're going to keep that one there, and that's the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganella. Vanda.
Yeah, I agree with Irzu, that's very difficult, or, you know, you should call the person once, but due the time frame that is very short that we have to make this decision, I do believe that the second point, the BACC member has not attended three is too much. Is too maximal, and because we cannot lack with any person all the time, so it should be few meetings. So three meetings, maybe it's all. So I believe that we need to have a more close number, like two at minimal. If in the second, you should call the alternates.
Right. Okay, thank you, Vanda. I've just been advised that I'm missing some comments in the chat. I'm not as good as some of you at keeping up, so I'm just pausing for a moment to try and catch up with the chat. I note that Murray has suggested... Oh, Geordie, you've joined us. Great. Thank you very much for joining. I note that Murray is suggesting that a simple majority of members deciding to excuse another member. So that's a good point. Thank you for that. There's a lot of agreement with Euro. Dave has said if a BCC member is unavailable and know that they're unable to attend meetings for the sake of good running of the process, if the BCC member has not attended one meeting and contacted the chair of the RALO, the BCC should take into consideration that the message has come from the BCC member through the chair of the RALO. I'm not quite sure if I'm understanding your point there. So if you would like to... thank you for putting your hand up. Vanda, I'll give the floor to you and then to Dave. Thank you, Vanda. Oh, Vanda's hand is down. So Dave, please.
Okay, thank you. The point I am trying to make is that from paragraph 7, the message comes from the BCC member. And then we see that, okay, if three meetings has not been attended by the member, then the committee has the knowledge, okay, that member is not interested. But nowhere it is mentioned that, okay, the chair of the RALO informs the committee that, okay, we have a member for any specific reason that member will not be able to attend. So we are going to replace or have the alternate. It's a matter of just putting a condition that, okay, the message can come from the member or the chair of the RALU or the leadership team of the RALU. That's my point.
Right. So just to check that I understand you correctly, in the first stop point you're suggesting that a BCEC member or their RALO chair advises that they're unable to continue. Is that correct?
The first point, or we can put we leave the point number one as it is, and we put another point: the chair or the leadership team of the RALO informs, advises that the BCEC member from the RALO is unable to continue participating in the process. We just put one more. It comes, the message from comes from the RALO, from the leadership team of the RALO.
Okay. So I can add that in as the third point. Is everyone in agreement with that? Vanda, please.
Hi. What I see about this third point is, in my view, if someone has not good performance for the short period, it's too short period, and it will be clear after the end of our work when we should have 360 review of each one performance, and then that performance can be open, and then the RALU will see if their indication was good or not, and this can be used in another occasion. We don't have time, and we don't have really a good criteria to really dismiss someone during this short process, just because we don't have this time and we don't appropriate process. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanda. Eduardo, take your comment and then I'll try and summarize what I've heard.
Okay, Julie, this is going to get very convoluted if we keep doing this. I think what Euro said, about the number of meetings, that can be a point. And if the member advises that they cannot keep participating, then that's it. Because I can think about following circumstances, I can add not following the code of conduct and not following the working practices, in all these circumstances, but then that will have to have all the if of what happened if this, or if the chairs are, it's going to be convoluted. I think it should be something simple. And this committee has a short period of time to do the work, so we can do things easier than that. Thank you.
Okay, Julie speaking. So thank you, Eduardo, and to some extent you've summarized what I think I was going to say. So I'm going to delete the third dot point as you and a number of you have suggested, because it's too complicated. We'll keep the first dot point as it is. We might include some words to say if the RALO chair advises that they're unable to continue, then we'll replace them. And the current second dot point, we will amend that to say if a BCEC member has not attended two meetings and is deemed by a majority of BCEC members to be unable to fulfil their responsibilities. Can I ask if that's a correct interpretation of the advice you've given me. I see a couple of ticks. Great. Okay, well, I will make those changes, and I appreciate all the feedback that you've given me. So the only minor point in the next paragraph that I wanted to check with you was that if we have to invoke an alternate, that I would be seeking the assistance of the other member from that RALO to help me get them up to speed. Would all of you who are full members be willing to assist me in that regard? Again, I'll just ask for green ticks rather than too much discussion. Great. Thank you very much for that. So at this point in time, we've covered, because we've already had the discussion on the training tools, which is agenda item 4, and Heidi's going to be progressing on that, and all of you have agreed that everyone will be involved in that training. I'll consider that that agenda item has been covered. And so for those alternates who've joined us up till now, thank you so much for joining. It's not necessary for you to remain on the call. However, should you wish to do so, I'm not going to require you to leave, but you're very welcome to drop off the call at this point in time. Thank you very much for your attendance. So I'd now like to move on to agenda item 5, which is the regular meeting time. Because we've tried to accommodate so many people by including the alternates for this meeting, it has been quite difficult to find a time that is suitable to everybody. Now that we're down to our core group of 11, I'd like to try and find a time that is a bit more suitable for everyone. I thought I would sort of open up another doodle that had perhaps more hours of the day to explore your availability, and to ask whether there is a particular day of the week that we should focus on, noting that Fridays are quite difficult for some of our members for religious reasons. So I'd like to ask whether Thursday might be a reasonable day to focus on. Is again, maybe ask for green ticks if we can explore Thursdays rather than explore every day of the week. Okay, lots of green ticks. So, brilliant. Thank you. So what I will do is I'll work with staff to send out another doodle poll. Some of you have suggested that rotating meetings might be a good idea. I must say myself, I think that can sometimes add complication. So what I'd like to try and do in the first instance is try and find a single time in the day when we can lock it into our diaries each week and meet there. And I note Carlos has joined us as well. So welcome, Carlos. Thank you for joining. Right, so I'll move on now to agenda item 6, which is the draft candidate's requirements. Now, I know a couple of you have said we should just be focusing on the same candidate requirements as for the non-com. To the best of my understanding, that's exactly what we have here. Thank you, Yeshim, for putting that up. The page that I've put together is slightly different from the candidate requirements that were used in 2014. The changes are that under ICANN directors shall be, I have updated that wording to agree exactly with the new bylaws, and really the only thing that has changed between the old bylaws and the new bylaws here is that what was originally number 5 has been deleted, which was persons who are willing to serve as volunteers without compensation other than the reimbursement of certain expenses. That has been removed in the new bylaws because directors now do receive not just reimbursement, but actually directors' compensation. So that now agrees exactly with the new bylaws. And the words under additional bylaw qualifications, again, they are exactly out of the new bylaws. So that would align completely, to my understanding, with what the NOMCOM would be focusing on. Then under ICANN operating principles, I've simply used the same qualifications as the NOMCOM, to the best of my knowledge. So I think we're pretty well in line there. And then under the ALAC-specific guidelines, there was one new criterion introduced in 2014, and that was an understanding of ICANN at large. So my question is, are you comfortable that we've covered off appropriately the candidate requirements in what I've put up here? Is there anything additional that we might need, or would you prefer to go away and think about it and respond by email in a couple of days? So I'd like to open the floor to comments. Vanda, thank you.
Well, I believe that for many of us that have been in NOMCOM, this is quite clear. If someone that is new could read better and talking. And really, the 5 items in the ICANN director shall be, that is all the conversation, all the discussion will be in English, because when we are talking about at-large groups from different regions, there is a lot of people that is not really able to be understood or be clear in English, and this makes the work inside the board very difficult. So I believe to enforce that this point is important, and we had in the past some problems related to that. And this is something that I believe is quite important for at large, especially people inside the board. It's just that all the others, I believe it's quite good recommendations and guidelines. I do believe also that the information about the new structure of ICANN should be a requirement. So during questions or interview or what else we can do, the knowledge about the after IANA transition that is ready now, should be a point that the people needs to understand to join the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie speaking. So, Vanda, so first of all, you talked about working in English. So that is number 5 of the first paragraph. Was there something additional that you felt needed to be added? Because my understanding is that that's already there.
Yeah, I just would like to put this in the bold just because we are talking about people in many regions where English is not the main language. And people, many of them, are not able to be quite understood in English. It's just to reinforce that. It's nothing. I know that is there. That's my first point. I said it's 5 points. But to reinforce that, because, you know, not allow candidates to join without, and we waste time if people that we analyze are not really able to participate in English. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanda. So let me just make sure I understand you correctly. What you're suggesting is that when we come to evaluate candidates, that we take that into full consideration rather than we actually need to change anything regarding English in what we have here, which is our candidate requirements. Is that correct?
Yeah, but first of all, I would like to put this in highlight or in bold to avoid people that are not able to express themselves in English to even be a candidate.
I'll go to Cheryl and then perhaps ask for other comments on that point. Cheryl, please.
Oh, thanks, Julie. It's Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record. I put my hand up, first of all, to indicate that I thought these criteria as written were fine and indeed were the ones that we should go ahead with. I think it's probably reasonable, as Vanda indicated, that we do bold up if needs be or underline or make slightly larger in font the operational aspects that are required, that one does have a good command of written and spoken English. I do understand Vanda's point, and unfortunately it is one that has become an issue, I'll hasten to add, not in recent times from any NOMCOM appointee, but we have had situations where from ASO, support organisation or advisory committee appointments have been a little less than stellar, and it has become quite an issue in the past. So that's a point well taken, Ben, and I certainly agree with you. I noticed Carlos asked for a couple of days on this. I'm happy enough to do that, although I'd be equally happy to agree on it now. But I think what's important is that we recognise that these criteria, these candidate requirements, will be published. They have to be published under existing expectations and at large advisory committee rules of procedure requirements. But we will be putting these into the expression of the call for expressions of interest, and that's something that we do need to start working on. And I know you'll get to that, Julie, relatively quickly. All of these, with the changes you've made to fit in line with the compensation now, are, with some minor modifications, pretty much what's been used since 2010. And I'm thinking we really should be able to just sort of get on with the job on these. If we're going to give any time for us to consider these, I would suggest we don't give ourselves any more than 48 hours to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Eduardo.
I disagree in highlighting the point number five because, to me, when I look at it, if you highlight it, you're telling me that is the most important thing that a director should have, and I think it's a combination of all the other items too. So I will keep it the way it is, and people can read it, and our group is the one that is going to evaluate these people based on those requirements. So, if we all understand that the person cannot communicate in English or in a written, that's a factor that we will take in the evaluation. And the other thing is, I think this is a very pretty, concise requirement. And I think you did a great job here in picking up pieces from the non-com, from the ICANN bylaws and the ICANN. And at large, and I think, those requirements are there. And I don't think, we can wait 48 hours to do this. We have a very short period of time in doing this. So that's, I'm ready to agree on this now, but if other people feel different, that would be fine with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Carlos.
Yes, thank you. Cheryl, I don't want to go and redraft the document. It's just this ICANN legalese is hard to swallow. If we're going to attract people from a wide background, I just want a day or two to read it and put some questions where I think I need a clarification. When I read notwithstanding anything here to the contrary, it's already difficult. It takes me longer than a minute, not only because of the language, but because I'm not a lawyer. So I'm not planning to redraft. It's just this legalese stuff is sometimes hard to swallow, and maybe some clarifications might be useful. Thank you very much.
If I may.
Thank you, Carlos. Cheryl. Yes, please.
Thank you. That was a fresh hand up. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. That was a fresh hand I put up. I'll put it down now. Over. Carlos, I appreciate that. And one of the reasons I supported no more than 48 hours was to allow for people to take the time to do that. By the way, technically, as Gunilla has noted, you can increase the font size. This is an unsynced document. If you select the full page for the pod, you should be able to make it far more readable. I'm working on an 8-inch tablet, and I can manage to get it up large enough for my old eyes to do so. Even talking to staff might help you improve the usability of the document size. I want to disagree with you on the notwithstanding and legalese aspects of this. I recognise that we all need to be comfortable and happy. But most importantly, a potential applicant, someone who we would be getting an acceptable expression of interest, if they can't manage the level of language that this is currently written in, they will have a snowball's chance in hell in managing a single board meeting or advice from or understanding the detailed advice that ICANN Legal would be giving them in tomes. I know Vandra has served on the board. She is well aware of the unbelievably large amount of briefing material that comes out before board meetings. And if you think this is a complicated level of language and legalese, this would pale to insignificance by comparison. So I'm not fearful of putting out something at the level of language which at least reflects the type of language level that people will have to work in. But that's probably me being a little harsh. Perhaps, an offline conversation with Vanda, with anybody who wants to know exactly from her perspective, which was a few years ago, I admit, the enormous amount of prep material, which is in some cases 2 and 3 Arch file folders full, that is given. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. So I guess just to put my own perspective on a couple of those points, I think Vanda made a good suggestion with regard to including a requirement for ALAC, under ALAC specific guidelines, including that the candidate have an understanding of the new ICANN structure post-IANA transition. So I would, Vanda, I noticed your hand, but I might just finish summarising.
No problem.
No problem, go ahead.
So I would ask if you would, if you agree with that, because we haven't really had any discussion on that, would you put a green tick in the chat now, please, or in the Adobe Now? I thought that was quite a good suggestion. Thank you. So I see lots of green ticks. So I will add something under ALAC specific guidelines there. To express my personal view regarding highlighting written and spoken English, I think my personal view is in line with what Eduardo expressed. I wouldn't really like to... I understand how important that is, but I wouldn't really like to highlight a single requirement over any other in what we put out. We can certainly make sure that when we're engaging with candidates that we make judgments in that regard. My personal view is that I feel a little reluctant to highlight that one thing in the candidate requirements over and above all others. So I'd just again ask for, can I ask for a green tick if we don't highlight that in line with what Eduardo suggested? Okay, so thank you for that. So I'll make that one addition, and Vanda, thank you, Vanda. You wanted to add something?
Yeah, I haven't seen in this list one point that is quite important for the board work is time commitment, because what is there in general in the bylaws or something like that does not represent the time spent in all the work. So...
Excuse me, Vanda,
yes.
There. If you look at the bottom of the first page, there's a whole section titled Time Commitment and Working Practice outlined in the non-com procedures.
Okay, because I was will suggest, I will suggest in the ALAC, in the ALAC specific guidelines is also to work to report back to ALAC and, participate the most possible way in the ALAC issue. Because it's important for someone that is there as a member of our choice that could be very important, as we are seeing Rinalia now participating a lot of eight issues and keep tracking everything that we are done. So it's very important in my point of view for a candidate. Thank you.
Can I ask for green ticks if the members feel that it would be useful to add another criterion about working with ALAC? I'll need to work on some words for that. Can I ask for green ticks if you think that should be included, or red crosses if you think it should not? I'm also noting that we've got 1 minute to the top of the hour and a couple of agenda items still to go. So I've got a few ticks. Vander, I'm assuming that's an old hand. Eduardo, please go ahead. Eduardo, I can't hear you. I see Eduardo is typing in the chat. Okay, you got disconnected. So I will work on some phraseology to add in those two ALAC-specific guidelines that we've discussed. When Eduardo gets connected back in again, we can go to him and see what his comment is. Eduardo, just interrupt when you're back online. So, you're there now?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I was just wanting to say, I just got disconnected, but I just wanted to say this requirement that we're talking about, that the person should participate in the meetings. It's something that will happen in the future, and how
that's
I'm going
true.
To evaluate. I can tell you what track record is, and I can find out if there is an understanding of potential impact of ICANN, things like that. Because things I can really talk about, but you know, are you going to participate in the meeting? Yes. No. Sorry.
Yes. No. It's a good point you're making. I will see if I can come up with some words that capture the sense of what Vander was saying, and if we can't find the right words. We might just leave it as is. I'd like to move on now. I had expressions of interest pro forma on the agenda. I don't think we've got sufficient time to really talk about that in any depth, but my intent is that as soon as we finalise the candidate requirements, and I'll update them first thing in the morning my time, and send you out an email for you to consider them, and we'll just take 48 hours for those of you who aren't as familiar as some of the others to just get their minds around them, and then we will agree that they're finalised. What I would ask others to do, particularly those of you with some experience in this process, is to have a look at the old expression of interest pro forma and just get a bit of a feel for how it might need to be updated or improved. This time around, there will need to be some changes with the changed wording in the bylaws. So if you could start having a look at that, and we might try and do a little bit of work on that off outside the meeting on the list. The final thing that I have circulated, and again, I think we might be a little bit early in the process to be able to agree to this today, but I've circulated Tijani's proposed timeline. He is going to want our agreement as to whether we believe we can meet that or not. At this stage, I'm not sufficiently familiar with the work that we need to do to be confident that we can meet that timeline, but many of you are more experienced than I. So what I would ask you to do is, over the next week, everyone look at that timeline and provide feedback as to whether you believe we can meet that timeline or not. So I guess homework for the group is to review the draft candidate requirements, and when I recirculate them and provide your concurrence, have a look at the expression of interest pro forma and compare it to the draft candidate requirements, and look at the proposed process timeline and provide feedback on that. Cheryl, please.
Excuse me, went to speak and almost nothing happened. Thanks, Julie, Cheryl, for the record. Just going back a step, and yes, we will have to look at this timeline in detail, but it does, however, give us a lot of indication as to why we need to get on with this job and get on with it promptly, effectively and efficiently. I'd like to offer my assistance on a little redrafting on the call for expressions of interest documentation that was used last time, but also I want to ask that we decide as a group that we'll be using the online facilities for these expressions of interest to be created. That is currently, by currently I mean up until and including the current serving NOMCOM, not the one that is coming into existence at the end of the year, but this one that's just finished its substantive work other than reporting, because as far as I know, a couple of things, such as the ability to save the document and not have to do it in one sitting, well, that's different now, because the online tools, which are already, you know, built and we may as well leverage off, were improved year after year. So we want to not only just redraft it on a few of those things, just to bring it up to speed, but we want to make sure that we agree that we will be using those online tools for the collection of this, because it's going to make all our lives a lot easier. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cheryl. And I think that's fantastic idea. I certainly am hoping that everyone is willing to use the online tools, especially as they have been, I gather, improved. Can I just ask everyone to indicate by a green tick that they are supportive of using the online tools that are available for us to go through this process? Thank you very much. That's great. So I've already gone 7 minutes over time. The one other item of homework that I would ask you to do and respond initially by email, but Cheryl has offered to put it up in a Google Doc as well, is provide me feedback on the other items that I've drafted in our operational procedures and guidelines. Something just changed. I have put them together as a very initial draft. I know many of you are a lot more experienced, and I'd like to tap into that experience. So please provide me feedback. We do have to have these procedures approved by the ALAC as a whole, which means that we have to get them finished fairly promptly and up and on the wiki. I envisage that these should be public procedures for everyone to be able to see. So I'd like us to be working on them between now and the next meeting. So please, once Cheryl's got the document up in a Google Doc, she'll send a link to that and we can all work on it. So before wrapping up, can I just ask if there's any other business that anyone would like to raise at this time? In that case, thank you for making a lot of progress. We got through an awful lot on this agenda, and I really thank you for all your helpful comments and great input, and look forward to working with you between now and our meeting next week, and then talking to you again next week. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to our staff for all your support too. Good night, and talk soon.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, bye. Everyone. Bye.
This meeting is now adjourned. The audio now will be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yashim. Thanks, Heidi. Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.